One of the things that makes Christmas such an enjoyable time of year is that most people enjoy surprises that are good surprises, pleasant surprises. Hands up if you enjoy a pleasant surprise. A few people. Some people are keeping their hands down. But most people enjoy pleasant surprises. And on Christmas Day, one of the best surprises is, of course, that mystery present. You've got your presents there under the tree and you get them out. And to be honest, if you're an adult, you know what most of them are going to be. So you look there and you go, oh, that one's a pair of socks. And oh, look, that one's a long triangle. Oh, that must be a Toblerone bar. But every so often, you get a present and you don't know what it's going to be, do you? Do you open it straight away or do you save it until last? That's the important question, isn't it? And it's great, isn't it, receiving a surprise present, because it tells you that someone has very thoughtfully and lovingly gone out there and got something that will make you happy, something that you really need. We all love surprises at Christmas. Which ties in very nicely with what Catherine's been sharing about the first Christmas and how it was full of surprises. And there's all sorts of surprises there. Firstly, Mary and Joseph would have been very surprised when they heard that God had chosen them to have Jesus. And then there was a bit of a negative surprise, a bad surprise, when the Roman emperor decided that there was going to be a census and everyone was going to have to travel to their hometown to register. Just what Mary needed when she was about to give birth. But when you step back and look at it, you see that even this bad surprise was all under God's control. Because Joseph, he was part of King David's family line, but the baby had to be born in Bethlehem. And that means Joseph had to go back to Bethlehem so that prophecy was fulfilled. So it was a surprise, but it all fitted together. However, it must have been a real surprise when they struggled to find somewhere to stay in Bethlehem. This was the place where Joseph's family was from. They would have had relatives there. But it seems that everyone had had to flock back. And maybe they'd been a little bit slow in the journey because of Mary's condition. But they get there and there's nowhere to stay. But the Lord provided. And tradition tells us that Jesus was born in a stable, which was probably a cave, because they used to keep their animals in caves at that time. It was a very humble place to be born. But the real surprise about Christmas is, of course, who Jesus is. And this morning, who do you think Jesus is? Well, lots of people have got all sorts of different ideas about who they think Jesus is. Some people think that he was just a philosopher or a religious teacher who became famous, and then after he died, all sorts of made-up stories were attached to him. And that's what lots of people think about Jesus. Other people, they recognize that he was an exceptional man, a man sent from God, a prophet. But then he made some sort of mistake and God himself killed. Well, both of those have got a little bit of truth in and something wrong in. Because Jesus, he was a great religious leader. And when you look at his teaching, you can see that he ranks there alongside the greatest philosophers. And we know that he was a prophet. And all those things are true about him. But other things that I said, they're not quite right. So Jesus never made any mistakes. When you understand what's going on, it's all part of God's plan, how he went to the cross. And those stories about him in the Bible, they're all true. All of those miracles really happened. But he was much more than just a prophet or a philosopher or a religious leader. Because we see that Jesus is the Son of God. The second member of the Trinity, who up until this point in world history had been with the Father, living in unimaginable glory in heaven, with armies of angels at his command. And now this highly exalted one allows himself to be born to an ordinary working class family who ended up spending the night in a stable. This is surely the largest step down the largest story of riches to rags in human history. And it really puts some perspective on those politically motivated photo shoots we've seen recently, where our politicians get out there and they get alongside the people. So you see them there early in the morning loading up the milk cart or in some sort of factory, and they're there and they're saying, look, I'm one with you. And chances are we're not going to see them in that sort of situation again now for about 5 years. That's not the case with Jesus. Jesus did this huge step down, and then he lived his entire life with the ordinary people. And this tells us that he loves people and he wants to help them. And this is the biggest surprise of all, that God loves people and he wants to help them. Now, whenever you hear that someone needs help, you ask, don't you? So what do you need help with? What is the problem? What sort of help do we need? Well, the answer to that question is found in the surprise visit that the angels made to the shepherds. Now, being a shepherd was not a good career choice at that moment in history. In the past, it may have been an honourable role, and today we tend to romanticise about being a shepherd because we think of Psalm 23 and we think of our Lord's description of himself as a shepherd. But at that moment, being a shepherd was one of those jobs you did if you couldn't do anything else. And in our society, there's various jobs out there which you do if you can't do anything else. And I'm sure you can think of what some of them were. Being a shepherd was hard work, it was dirty work, it was dangerous work, and it meant that the individual became ceremonially unclean. And for a Jew living in that time in history, one of the worst things that could happen to you was that you were ceremonially unclean. It meant that you weren't allowed to go into the temple to worship. And even worse than that, people thought that this uncleanliness about you was contagious. So people didn't want to have anything to do with you. And consequently, shepherds were despised by society. They were out there on the edge. And yet the good news of the birth of Jesus was announced first of all to these people, which reminds us that no matter how small and insignificant and how much you feel that you're on the edge of society and forgotten about people, no matter how dirty you feel, like the shepherds were ceremonially unclean, they would have felt dirty all the time. No matter what past mistakes and regrets that you're hiding, God knows about it. God knows about you. He cares and he offers a way out. So when these angels visit these shepherds, they have been treated with a dignity and a respect that is beyond anything which their society would have offered them. And as part of this gift, they receive the good news. They hear the gospel message. Today in the town of David, a savior has been born to you. Now, a savior is someone who rescues people. So what do we need rescuing from? Well, when we think about our lives, probably all sorts of things. We may struggle with poor health. We may be struggling with debt, with bad relationships, with heavy responsibilities, struggling to cope with past hurts. Each one of us has many burdens that we carry, and it would be lovely to be saved from them, to be rescued from them. However, behind all of these problems, when you look and think and dig deep enough, you see that there is something even more sinister. The reason we struggle with these problems is because we have a bad relationship with God. As people, we were made to have a loving relationship with God, and we seriously mucked all that up. And now in God's eyes, we are criminals that need punishing. And this damaged relationship with God overflows and affects every other area of life. How we treat other people, how other people treat us, and even our relationship with the environment around us. It's twisted and changed because of it. This broken relationship with God is the root cause of every other problem that we face. Now, if we were suffering from some horrific disease, and at Christmas, someone gave you a surprise miracle cure that was guaranteed to work, then you'd be ecstatic. Yet for some reason, while we're very good at recognizing health problems or material problems or mental health problems, we seem to be very blind to spiritual problems. Yet as people, we are made up of body and soul, and having a healthy soul is just as important as having a healthy body. And Jesus made it possible to have a healthy soul once again. He made it possible for us to have that restored relationship with God. He was sent to sort out the problem that is behind every other problem and pain that you face. And it's such a wonderful surprise that God has sent him as his presence. Because God was under no obligation whatsoever to sort out the mess that we had made. God could have quite easily stepped back and said, "You've made your bed, now you have to lie in it." And he would have been perfectly good and just if he did that. But God didn't do that because he loves people. So he sent his son from heaven to live an ordinary yet perfect life, and then to die to make it possible for people to be brought back to God. Now, how that all works out has got a lot of detail, and the detail is for another message. But the important thing is, it does work. If you want to have the problem that is the cause of all the misery and all of the difficulties in your life sorted out, then the only thing you can do is to follow the shepherd's example and seek out Jesus. After the angels had left them, the shepherds had a choice. They could have stayed in the fields and looking after the sheep, doing their job. And they could have said, "Wow, what a wonderful experience. That was very nice. That's very exciting." But if they did this, they would have missed out. When people hear about Jesus, they have to do more than listen and say, "Oh, that's nice." They have to seek Jesus out, just like the shepherds did. And if Jesus has got time for people like the shepherds, then it's no surprise that he has got time for every person who comes to him. So how do you seek out Jesus today? Well, to find Jesus today is fairly straightforward. It's a bit like the A, B, C. Firstly, you have to accept that Jesus is really alive, that he has made it possible to get to know God, which means that you have to accept that you've got a problem that needs solving. Most people deny that there's anything wrong. They have to accept that they've got a problem that needs solving. And then secondly, the B is to believe. Believe that you have that he has done everything that is needed to sort out the problem. Believe in him. Trust in him. And then thirdly, you need to get involved in a Bible-believing and teaching church. That's the C. Where you will get to know other Christians, where you can find out more about Jesus and what it means to follow him. So we have to accept, we have to believe, and then we have to go to church. The A, B, C. And if you're able to do this, then you will be receiving a part of the greatest surprise present of all time. The fact that God sent his son to save us. And this surprise present tells us that God loves us, that he cares for us, and that it's possible to have a good relationship with him once again. What a wonderful surprise present we have received from such a loving God. Amen.